There's a way in which when we're talking about the past, let's see here. There's a way in which I think this is probably particularly true of this culture. Like if you think about the approach that we have to psychotherapy, and which is that it's about digging into the past, to resolve some things, because as a culture we share this notion that what happened in the past determines, or let's say makes inevitable, what's going to happen in the present and the future. You know, like I had this and this and this and happened to me in the past, and I think the way it works is the first thing we tend to do is that we make a identity out of that. I'm a person whose father did this, or my mother didn't do that, or my toilet training was like this, or something like that, and therefore I am this kind of person, and therefore I have been and will continue to be this kind of person and have these kinds of problems. And it's like we build up a kind of false inevitability out of that. And part of that is that, when we're talking about the past, we're talking about something that, literally doesn't exist. And we make up a story about it. And that story, as I say, turns into an identity. And that identity creates a whole set of expectations about who we are and what we're going to, the suffering that we're going to inevitably continue to have to deal with throughout our lives. Is this making any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil, it's a way of creating a self-fulfilling prophecy out of something that's really illusory. And we tend to really believe in that. As if the past, or at least what we think of as the past, defines us in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to get quite attached, quite dug into that as a notion. And, self-fulfilling prophecy is something that makes itself true. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it creates a view of oneself in an energetic situation which becomes very static in a certain way, because we believe in this inevitability of the past creating our present and our future. But when we come to a place like this, well, it doesn't favor transformation, and the kind of transformation we call healing, have things sort of crystallized in that way about ourselves. It creates a kind of a block, you might say. So, in the camp, we just sort of suspend that for a while. And together with the name thing, it's like we create a condition temporarily, in which, if it doesn't erase that completely, at least it softens it. People are referring to you by a different name. They're relating to you as you are here and now. And it kind of opens up new possibilities for each of us. It's like we no longer have to see and experience ourselves as creatures of, or prisoners of, our past. And that makes change and transformation much more possible.
How does the someone's identity produce illness.
Produce what? Illness.
Well, if you look more closely at the identity that we tend to build for ourselves, the primary ingredient that goes into it, that is built out of, is fear. So, you know, if we're going to go right down to the root of it, the whole notion of identity, by that I mean the notion of ourselves as being separate, and that separateness has certain characteristics to it. It's an illusion, and it's an illusion that is both produced by fear and helps to recycle and amplify the fear. Yes, because the notion of separateness first comes about because you know, we're afraid, basically we're afraid of the world, we're afraid of life, we're afraid that the world is a at best an indifferent place, and at worst and most likely hostile and dangerous, and that we have to defend ourselves from it. We have to take individual action to protect ourselves. And so we create this thing called ego. It's a sense of ourselves as being separate that is, as I say, is created out of fear, and then it has to be defended through trying to control things, other people, situations, the natural world, and so forth. And at the same time, as with that sense of ourselves as being separate crystallizes or solidifies, we find ourselves experiencing ourselves as being separate, as being alone. And that's a scary place to be. Because in some ways, you know, deep down, even that sense of ourselves being separate, deep down knows that as a separate individual, you don't really have what it takes to, you know, provide the protection that you say that you want. You don't have all the resources. And so that's scary. And so that feeds back into a feedback loop. And it produces many actions, attitudes, and let's just say a way of life that is out of balance. So another word for imbalance is illness, which shows up in the whole spectrum of possible illnesses. It's not just there is one illness that is a result of that. So the kind of identity, of course, that we're talking about, it's an illusory identity. It's not real. That's not to say we don't have something we could call a true identity, who we really are. But that is far beyond the capacity of that fear to touch on or live out of.